And he's not in a good situation where he's at in Acts chapter 26. He's actually in chains, and he's on his way to Rome. He's going to be on his way to Rome. And he's before a king, King Herod Agrippa. And in Acts chapter 24, he was before another ruler named Felix. In Acts chapter 25, he was before another ruler, Festus. And so he's been going through it. He's on trial. And I love what the Apostle Paul does here. He kind of turns the trial around and he puts those three people on trial themselves. And the question is, what are they going to do with Jesus Christ? What are they going to do? And so he puts them on trial. And so I want to look at this idea tonight. Are you on trial tonight? What have you done with Jesus, and what will you do with Jesus? In Acts chapter 26, if you would look down at verse number 28, for sake of time, I'm just going to read a few verses, but the Apostle Paul is here in this chapter before King Herod Agrippa, and he's being allowed to give a defense for why he was in the condition that he was. He's in chains. He's going to Rome to appeal to Caesar. He's a Roman citizen, so he had that right. And here in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, we find Paul as he's giving the gospel to Herod Agrippa, and he's making it real clear to this king that finally the king, Herod Agrippa, has to come to a decision. And in verse number 26, Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Let's pray as we look at a couple of thoughts here tonight for just a few minutes. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we think about this idea of being almost persuaded. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room before this night is done, everyone in this room, from those regular church members, from those visiting with us tonight, to our children that are here, Lord, I pray that all of us would be fully persuaded of who you are and what you've done for us and what we need to do, what we need to do with what you've done for us. And so I pray that you'd help us tonight and give us understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the apostle Paul here, as he's preaching the gospel, I'm going to look at this idea tonight of the persuasion. Are you fully persuaded, or are you almost persuaded? I looked up that word persuaded. It means to come to a conclusion through a process of reasoning. In other words, an argument. We know how arguments go sometimes in the home. We know something is true. I know when I disagree with my wife and something. Sometimes, even if I know that I'm wrong, I don't want to admit that I'm wrong on that. I want to continue the charade that I am right. You know how that goes. Children do the same thing with their brothers and their sisters. But here the Apostle Paul puts this question to Agrippa. He gives him the truth, and Agrippa has to come to a decision, but he's not fully persuaded. He's almost persuaded. So I want to look at a few thoughts here. First of all, number one, I want to look at the object of the persuasion. The object of the persuasion. Agrippa says, "Almost thou persuadest me." Now, some people are hard to persuade. Agrippa is one of these. Festus in chapter 25, he, this ruler, was also one of these. He totally rejected what Paul the apostle was saying. Festus said, "You're a madman, Paul." In chapter 26, I believe it's down verse 25, 24, he says, "You're a madman. I don't accept anything that you say." He was obviously not persuaded. Agrippa was closer than Festus was, but he also, of course, was not persuaded. But what is the object? I want to say to all of us Christians here tonight that the object of the persuasion for all of us, everything that we do, we ought to in some way be trying to reach souls with the gospel. Everything that we do, when I'm in my home, I have my children that I want to reach with the gospel. I want them to have their sins forgiven. I want them to be on their way to heaven. I want them not to be lost, but to be found. Jesus came to find that lost sheep. And so the object of the persuasion here, what we're trying to do, and I'm going to be honest with you, if you're a guest here tonight, I'm hoping to persuade you tonight. I'm not trying to persuade you to be a religionist. I'm not trying to persuade you to be what I am or to be a Baptist or anything else. I'm trying to persuade you. I'm going to be real upfront. I'm hoping that you choose to become a follower of Jesus Christ, a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So the object of the persuasion. So what is Paul preaching here in this chapter? I thought it was very interesting, and I've read this many times, but I kind of went back through it again. And there's several things that Paul gives here. He gives, first of all, the scripture. He doesn't directly quote the Old Testament, but he over and over says, the God of the Hebrews says this. And the fathers, our fathers, said this. Well, those fathers for the Apostle Paul were the Old Testament writers in many cases. Those writers who gave us the scriptures. Those writers like Samuel. Those writers like Joshua. And of course, most well known, I think, would be the Old Testament writer known as Moses. And he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. And Paul here references back to those writers, and he says they gave us the story of where we came from. They gave us the story of God giving the word, the law, down to his people. And so Paul rehearses to these foreigners. These were not Jews. These were people who were heathens. We would consider them very much a heathen person. They had rejected, totally rejected any kind of the gospel. And Paul's telling them that they had the truth, the scriptures. And I would say to us tonight, we don't want to preach to you anything of our own opinions. We want to try to follow the scripture. The scripture is our foundation. It's our basis. If I don't have my beliefs centered on the word of God, the foundation that does not shake, then I'm going to have a faulty foundation. I'm going to be building on the sand. And I've heard, I don't know how many times, preachers on the TV and preachers on the radio when I was a kid. Radio is a thing of the past, right, kids? They're like, what's that? But I used to hear these preachers. I remember when we were going to church sometimes, we'd listen to a preacher on the radio and so on. And I heard a lot of opinion. I heard a lot of man's reasoning. And over the years, you know, there's times where there's man's opinions. But you know what? The truth is, we gotta hold to the truth, the Bible. And Paul does that here in this chapter. He presents to Herod Agrippa the word of God. But that's not the only thing he gives to Herod Agrippa. I thought it was so interesting. Paul also gave his testimony. Now, a testimony is your own personal story of how you were saved. I believe that all of us should be giving our testimony of how we were saved. We ought to be able to tell somebody. It doesn't mean that we're going to have, we don't have to have a degree in theology to be able to give the gospel. We just tell what God did for us. Did God do something for you in your salvation? If you're here tonight, you say, well, I don't really know what that is. I don't really know what salvation is. I saw something, or I heard a preacher say something many years ago. Listen, tonight we can take the Bible and show you what God says about that. And Paul does just that. There's three things. I don't want to take long, but there's three things that Paul preached a lot. He preached about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul had actually seen the risen Jesus. the risen Savior. He's an apostle. All the apostles had seen Jesus. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul goes through and says, I saw Jesus. I got my revelations, my message that I preach and I wrote down in Scripture. I got it straight from Jesus. Now, he had a personal testimony of what he saw and how God changed his life. And we as Christians, if you're here tonight and you know you're saved, you have a testimony. Share that testimony. Give out that testimony. You say, well, it's nothing special. Well, that's many of us who grew up in church. You know, I never got saved out of, you know, drugs and alcoholism. I didn't do drugs when I was 8 years old. But I was in a home where I had to make a choice for myself. Am I going to just do what my parents did because that was the thing that to do? Or am I going to choose for myself? I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and to wash my heart clean. I had to make that personal decision. And that's what salvation is. It's a personal decision. You have to make it. Children, you have to make that decision as soon as they can understand. I know there's some churches, they put an age on that. There's 8 years old or 12 years old. That's not what the Bible says. The age is when a person comes to the point where they can understand it for themselves. Now, I know here I have not seen all the final numbers on salvation decisions made this week. But I know it was over 15. And I know that a lot of young people have chosen for themselves that they want to be a follower of Christ. They want Jesus to forgive their sins and to save their soul. Now, that's a personal decision. So, what does Paul do? He tells Agrippa his testimony. If you know the story, you know that Paul was on a road to Damascus. And he was going there to kill Christians. He hated this new group of Christians who were going against Judaism, what he revered. And he was a very devout Jew, a Pharisee. And he thought he was doing God a favor by getting rid of those strange new sect of Christians who claimed to follow a risen Jesus. And all of a sudden, as he's riding down the road, he sees that light from heaven himself, and it was Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus spoke to the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was saved right there on that spot. So this is a testimony. You have a testimony. If you're saved, you have a testimony. If you don't know what that is, I'm hoping that tonight you'll talk to one of your child's teachers if you're here visiting for the first time. You'll talk to one of your child's teachers. And that's what we've done this week is we've just given them the gospel. Five facts about my eternal life, my everlasting life. And I'm not going to go through them all. But it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, you put your trust in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. So here's the persuasion, the object of the persuasion. I got to move along. I want to move to the idea of why this half-convinced hearer was almost persuaded. Why the almost persuasion? Look at verse number 28 again. Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear thee or hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. What was wrong with Agrippa? Why almost? And I want to point out three things that I think were probably factors on why he was close, but didn't quite get saved. A few weeks ago, I was out knocking on doors. And there was a few guys working on a truck. And I forget which one of my kids was with me. We walk up to them and I just said, hi, we want to talk to you about the Lord. And they said, no, get out of here. And as I'm walking away from there, it kind of hit me that here, I'm nothing special, but I have something that's very special. I have the truth to share with them. They were that close to hearing the truth. All they had to do is let me share the truth with them. I mean, they were that close. And I can't help but think that someday in eternity, they're going to say, wow, I was that close. Here's Agrippa. Almost. I mean, he was so close to being saved, but he didn't want to believe. Three things. If you think of where they're at, they're in a court. And here's Agrippa sitting there with his wife, Bernice. The Bible says that earlier in the chapter. Well, I don't want to go into too many details, but this lady, according to some other historians, was a pretty evil woman. And she had done some pretty awful things. And I can't help but believe, as he's sitting there listening to the Apostle Paul, that Agrippa didn't want to give up his sin. He loved the Roman lifestyle that he had and the woman that he had on his arm. He didn't want to give up the love of sin. You know what? The love of sin will keep people from trusting Christ as their Savior. See, repenting of your sin is just a natural part of turning to the Savior for forgiveness. Why would you want to keep your sin, hang on to your sin, when you can trust Christ and get deliverance from your sin? And his love of sin possibly kept him from giving up or from becoming a believer. His love of sin. But you know what? That's not all. I think also there's another ruler there sitting nearby. His name was Festus. Maybe his fear of man kept him from trusting Christ. Maybe his fear of man. He looked at Festus, and Festus was a very brash person. And Festus had just accused Paul of being a madman. And he probably didn't want Festus to say, you know what? There's not one madman here, there's two madmen. You know, Agrippa and Paul, you're both mad and insane. I don't know, but his fear of man. He was afraid what the Roman government would say about him. You know what, boys and girls? We're all kind of concerned what people think. Adults, we're kind of sometimes still concerned what people think. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Listen, if you're here tonight and you know that you're not saved, you'd be much, much better off not worrying what anybody else thinks and just trust in the Lord as your Savior. If you've been pretending to be a Christian, and that's what I'm glad, I actually kind of like the way Festus, you know, at least it was real obvious what Festus was. Paul, you're crazy. That's pretty obvious. You know, he's straight up with it. He's pretty bold. Agrippa, well, I kind of want to be a Christian, but I don't really want to be a Christian, you know. How about I just pretend? How about I just put on the name of a Christian? You know what? Being a Christian is a matter of how you live. You live out the Christian life. It's not just a name or a title that you take. I've heard of in the past, you know, when countries would conquer other countries, and they would take all their conquered soldiers, their prisoners of war, and they would douse them with some holy water, and they would Christianize them. Oh no, that's not how you become a Christian. It's a personal decision, as we already talked about. But this fear of man, the love of sin, the fear of man, I think the third possible reason why he didn't want to become a Christian possibly was the cost to himself of becoming a Christian. He's looking at this preacher, the Apostle Paul. Paul, hey, have you noticed you have chains on your arms? I'm a free man. And you're trying to tell me that what you have is better than what I have? Okay, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You know what? Better to be chained on the arm than chained in the heart. Right? Better to be a free man on the inside. That's what the Apostle Paul was. In Acts chapter 16, they put him in jail and they put him in the stocks. And he was like a free man. He was singing at midnight in the bloody wounds on his back. And he's singing. He's a free man. because his trust, his hope was in the Lord. But the cost, and I'm not saying that if you become a Christian, you're going to be beaten for your faith. Thankfully, here in America, we had a lot of freedom. But truthfully, being a Christian is taking on the cross of Christ. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. I live a wonderful life as a Christian, but not just this life. I have a life to come, an everlasting life that's much, much, much better than this life. So these three things possibly kept him from becoming a fully persuaded Christian. Let me just wrap it up this way. If you don't become a believer, if you don't become fully persuaded, you're going to miss out on the blessings that God has for you, number one. But also, you're going to be endlessly throughout eternity regretting what you could have had. In Luke chapter 16, we find the story of a rich man and a beggar. The beggar, not because he was poor, but he was a saved man. He had his trust in the Lord. Doesn't mean that if you have little money or no money that you're going to heaven. But this beggar, when he died, he went to heaven. The rich man, when he died, he went to the lake of fire. The Bible calls it hell. And the rich man, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he trusted himself and his riches rather than trusting in the Lord. And this rich man, when he died, Luke chapter 16 says that he went to the other side of this life and he looked back and he regretted. And he begged for mercy and he was in torment. He regretted what he had done in his life. And I'm telling you tonight that if you leave this life and you go into the next unprepared, there will be an eternity of regret. And there it won't matter what anybody says or thinks or laughs at you or anything else. There's an eternity of regret. Heard a story once. D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago. And he had preached a big meeting and he was all praying for people to get saved. And he was preaching the truth from the Bible. And for some reason, he got down to the end of his message, and he said, if you'd like to be saved, why don't you think about it for a week, and then come back and make that decision? And the story goes that he dismissed that service, and as they're walking out, they heard the clanging and the bells of fire trucks, fire wagons going by with the horses. It was the Chicago Fire. The Great Chicago Fire. Thousands of people many hundreds were killed, and probably a good number of the people that were sitting in his attendance that evening, many of them died. And he promised to God that he would never, ever again say, put it off. Think about it for a week and then come back. He was going to tell people, make that decision while you can. And I'm here tonight begging you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He died for you, He was buried for you, and He rose again from the dead. The Apostle Paul saw Him in person. I haven't seen Him yet, but I sure hope to someday, and I will someday. Listen, he believed, his persuasion was full that Jesus had risen from the dead. He's going to come back again. He's going to receive us unto Himself. And when that happens, we'll be with Him forever. If you don't know Jesus as your own personal Savior, don't put it off. Talk to one of us tonight. If you're a young person here, talk to your teacher. And see, they can take the Bible and explain that so you can get your sins forgiven and get this issue settled. Be fully persuaded. Trust in the Lord and not end up like Agrippa. We don't know, but there's no evidence whatsoever that Agrippa ever got saved because he didn't take this opportunity when he had it. Almost persuaded. Let's have